Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me again today is John Bradford as we are wrapping up our series of conversations on masculine spirituality. Welcome again, John.
Oh, it's great to be here again, Father.
Let's start with a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have made the human person male and female. We rejoice in the gift of complementarity. We ask, O Lord, that you help all men and women come to know you as their Heavenly Father and as Christ as their Lord and Savior. We ask this through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, John, we've been talking about Monica Miller and her book on the leadership in the church. The authority of women in the Catholic Church.
Yes.
One of the things that has kind of come out through talking about masculine spirituality is the idea of the human soul being male or female. You know, like it is engendered at the moment of conception. And as we are united, as the immortal soul is united to the body, but also that there is this sort of active and receptive nature to the human person that matches kind of masculine and feminine natures,
right.
You know, and that these are present in God, you know, both that God is both active and receptive. And I mentioned a little bit, in our last bit about the sort of activity of God, you know, in the Trinity as the Father sends out the Son and the Holy Spirit, and the receptivity of God as the Father receives back the Father and the Son. And, you know, I think the whole, you know, when we're trying to figure out what does it mean to be male or what does it mean to be female and what's authentically distinct about them, you know, I've mentioned to you, we really have to look to the marital act, because that's where it's on display. And it's sort of, I would almost say it's the picture that we're trying to paint when we talk about a masculine, what is distinct about male and what is distinct about female. It allows us to go back there and kind of check our understanding. Because it's only in that act that we see what is authentically male and what is authentically female, and what is authentically active and what is authentically receptive. And you know, it might take the course of looking at it physiologically and biologically and all of those kind of things. But it really, I think, that's what helps us to understand what we're trying to figure out in this battle.
What's so important about that, what you just said, Father, is we're at a day and age today when that's being obliterated.
Mm-hmm.
Male is basically defined by having the physical body of a male, mm-hmm. XY chromosome built all the way up with a physical body of a male. That's what masculinity is. That's what being a male is at its core. And the same thing with being a female is having that physical body of a female, XX chromosome built all the way up, male and female, just as God intended it to be. That's so important to express that.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what we need to hear more of today.
Yeah, and I think not to go down too far of an alley, but you know, there is I point it, especially as we're approaching Christmas, you know, this idea that you know, God has become flesh for a reason, and it is a reminder that as human beings, our bodies are essential to who we are.
Yes.
And there is a temptation to almost kind of be Gnostic, or you know, like the body is bad, or is meaningless to who we are. You know, as the Monica Miller, obviously, you know, her book helped you so much in this sort of in your own search for masculine spirituality. You actually came to meet her.
Yeah, what a story that is. So I got her book, and I read it, and I thought, this is fantastic. I bought 30 copies. And like every man that I had been talking to about masculine spirituality that I might have had a little discussion or an argument with, I sent him a copy of this. I passed these books out. I was so impressed by her. But anyway, I'd never been to the March for Life. So in 2015, I sort of met Deb Savage and Monica Miller. And then in 2016, Father Hahn asked me, hey, have you ever been to the March for Life? Never been there before, believe it or not. So I got on the bus. That was the March of Life of the big snowstorm, if you remember. 2 feet of snow hit Washington, D.C. So we travel over there. We go to the Basilica, which is really great. So we unload our bus, and Father Hahn saying, okay, we have to protect these seats in the church. So we got there like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe even earlier. So we're like hunkered down in the Basilica, holding our seats for all the people from St. Peter's Parish and the surrounding area. And it was pretty amazing because as the day drew on, it kept filling up and filling up and filling up. And it's like, I don't know how many people that holds, but I'm going to say 1,000 or something, right? And it's just filled up, moving up towards the time that the Mass is going to be celebrated, I think about 6 o'clock. People are sitting in the aisles, right? Well, I'm sitting in the seat, and I've still got like one seat beside me. And I'm kind of holding the seat. And anyway, there's people in the aisles. And I see this woman walking like up from the tabernacle area towards where I'm sitting. And I look at her, and I realize she doesn't have a seat, right? So I shove myself over, looked at her, got eye contact, said, here's a seat for you. She sits down next to me, and I said, you're Dr. Monica Miller, aren't you? And she said, yes, do I know you? And I said, no, but I just finished your book, and it's wonderful. So it was really quite a story. I mean, within 1,000 people, what were the chances that I'm going to sit next to Dr. Monica Miller at the Basilica? So,
and, you know, it's interesting how the Lord kind of confirms, you know, and I, what I really love about these, you know, our time together and these conversations is this is a journey. The Lord has guided you in figuring this out, and he's confirmed it along the way. And, you know, these little stories, I think, remind us that it's the Lord who's the head of these
projects.
He's
in charge, man, all the way, right? Yeah.
As we kind of... not necessarily wrap up, but I would say that, again, with this theme of, you know, of the incarnation, you know, we have, I think, in Joseph and in Mary, two models to help us to understand.
Yeah, really great models. So with Mary, I mean, as the image of one of the archetypes for all women, it's amazing to think that she says yes, right? The Lord comes to her, will you have my son? And she says yes. And it's an interesting part of the theology of the body of a woman that once that occurs, once the child is created in her womb, it's like once that initial yes takes place, it's like nature takes over, right? It's like all of nature takes over in growing that child. It's kind of almost like out of the woman's control, except for the fact that she can eat well and do good things that'll help the child, right? If we look at Joseph, he also had a yes, which is so profoundly different. So he's going to put Mary away quietly because she's pregnant, she's with child, and then the angel, I guess Gabriel, comes to him and says, no, I want you to be the foster father of the Lord. And he says, okay, I'll do it. Yes, I'll do that. Now, Joseph's yes is different from Mary's yes. So every morning he gets up and he has to say yes again. So take the children, take the family to Egypt. Yes, Lord, right? Bring them back to the Holy Land. Yes, Lord. So he's making a continual difference in the way he's talking about his yes. And we see that play out in like the Magnificat. So when Mary, women in general, I think, tend to be more self-reflective and realize that they're part of this natural process, so that, like in the Magnificent, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. So it's kind of self-reflective, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas if you look at the canticle of Zechariah, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. It's all exterior focused mm-hmm. into doing the Lord's work, right? And there's a great difference. There's a good way to see the difference between male and female in that particular.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, again, if we look at the, or think of the marital act as sort of the test mm-hmm. case, you know, that receptivity of outwardly going.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And then that, or and then the receptivity of receiving, you know, and indeed, you know, as you point to the Mary's yes, you know, this is a part of who she is, you mm-hmm. know.
Yes.
Having said yes, she has received the Lord, and there's this sort of stable disposition, as opposed to Joseph, who you know, like he has to kind of make that continual yes, because the relationship with the Lord is also outside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that points to another kind of heart of spirituality, you know, that masculine spirituality and feminine spirituality, they're not two separate spiritualities. They're complementary, just
yes,
like
right,
men and women right, are complementary.
Right, yeah.
And you can't say that masculine spirituality solves all of the spiritual
right,
problems
right.
or is the only way to approach the Lord. And the same with femininity. But I think the thing that really strikes me too is our relationship with the Lord is, on the one hand, it is stable and ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are sons and daughters of the Father. This is who we are. It's a part of who we are. That yes that we made in our commitment to the Lord is a stable yes. But it's also a yes that we have to make every day.
Yes.
And we have to renew every day. Thank you so much, John. Until next time, peace and all good.